This morning, I want to speak again about what lens are you looking through? And this is part four, actually, one of many parts. And as most of you know and are aware, that since the end of last year, I've been speaking on this particular theme. And the question emerged out, really, of me having a cataract operation in November of last year. And then again, I had the left eye operated on then. And then in January of this year, I had the right eye operated on. And so both of them have been done. But what, as I said, really impacted me through that was afterwards the realization of how different my eyes were than they had been before. And that realization and recognition of that really sort of spoke to me, because I realized that the lenses that I had before were not actually seeing the reality. And that made me think. And I felt this was something too that was stirred in me by the Holy Spirit. I didn't just think this was a natural thing in my thinking. And it, as far as I'm concerned, I've been blessed in thinking around this, meditating on this, and looking into the scriptures as far as this is concerned. So I've been looking at this theme though then for about 6 months, haven't I? And looked at various aspects of it. And one of the things I've brought out already is I've taken us to Psalm 73, which is one of Asaph's psalms. Psalm 77 is also one of his psalms. And in that psalm, he said his testimony was this. He says, in the situation that he was in, when I tried to understand all of this, all that was going on around him, and I tried to understand all this, he said it was actually oppressive to me. It was oppressive to me until I came into the sanctuary of God. He says, then I understood. So there's a lot in that, just that particular statement, and we looked at some of that. And in bringing that application, what I was trying to encourage was a sense that when we have a focus on all sorts of other things, it's good actually to come into the presence of God and have that focus upon his presence and that focus upon his word and upon the the life of the Spirit in that situation, so we can connect with the Lord. And when we do that, actually our views on things, our opinions, our perspectives actually do change. It can affect our heart and our mind and our will and our emotions as well. Our whole being can be affected by that. And it's interesting that feeling that sense of the presence of the Lord often means that our mood changes and that our attitudes change as well. And that actually affects our conversation. So and the language we use. It's all interesting. All sorts of things are involved in here. But before Asaph said that in his psalm, before that, he was focused and he was fixated, really, I thought, on the world around him. Because this is what he said. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I'd nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Looking into an older translation, this is the Moffat translation that you may or may not have heard of. And he puts it this way, I nearly lost my footing in anger at the godless and their arrogance at the sight of their success. And it's interesting, isn't it? You can feel like that. And he expressed those emotions and feelings. So what has my aim been in this, in talking about what lens are you looking through? Really, it's been that we might reflect and ask ourselves, you know, how many lenses am I actually using that may be unhealthy for my life? Because poor lenses that we use, they do a number of things. They convey wrong information. They can sort of paint an incorrect picture for us. They can colour our thinking and leave false impressions and even feed us with lies. So my central desire in all these things has been that we'll be encouraged to do really what Asaph did. And that is come into the presence of God, listen to the word of God, encounter the Spirit of God, and engage in worship, believe the promises of God, and go out being changed and transformed. Because that is, I mean, there's lots in Psalm 73 I've noticed, but that's some of the things that we've covered. And as I've indicated, as I've gone along in this, I've found that as I've looked at this, it's sort of gathered more and more momentum, and there's been more and more things that I've been able to look at and receive from that. And if you saw the stack of notes that I've got, you'd understand, and the folders that are increasing. But now something else has happened. In the midst of going through that, another question emerged out of this study that I've been doing. And it's a question that has sort of grown in my heart, really, and it seemed to become more persistent and more to the foreground of my thinking and more attention. And it's given me some sense of sort of excitement in my spirit about this. Now, what is that question? It's this question: what lenses did Jesus look through? What lenses did Jesus look through? Because I think, well, if I can I discover and find out what that is? If I can, surely I'm going to get more insight. I'm going to get more wisdom and revelation and understanding about this. And surely it will help me to know how better to walk as Jesus walked and to walk in the Holy Spirit. Now, we often talk about Jesus, don't we, in the sense that we often use the phrase about becoming like Jesus. That's quite a frequent Christian phrase, isn't it? A frequent Christian prayer that we might become more like Jesus, and something we can say amen to. And because that's what we want. And to be, actually to be doing the works of Jesus, we talk about that. And that's something that has come into our vocabulary, hasn't it? About doing the works of Jesus. John said in his first letter, "This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did." Now, I've read that probably in my life dozens and dozens of times in that particular letter. But in recent years, that struck me. I mean, what is it actually saying? That I can walk as Jesus did. That seems to me that's sort of something that sort of hits you in the face a bit. Wow, is that actually possible? And Jesus said himself in John 14, he says, "I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these." So that's another wonderful statement. Jesus made that statement. So I asked myself, is it not likely to be true that I will always struggle to do the things that Jesus did as long as I fail to see the ways that Jesus saw things? Now, does that make sense? If I can begin to see more and more the way that Jesus looked at things, then surely that will help me to be able to do the things that Jesus did. I believe we'll be helped to be like Jesus, and that includes knowing more of his authority and more of his anointing upon our lives as we better understand and we see those lenses that Jesus himself looked through. Now, with that in mind, as I'm taking you through the journey that I'm going through, with that in mind, I thought, well, what do I need to do to find out the answer to this question? What lenses does Jesus look through? And so to do that, I thought, well, I must come into the Gospels. I have to do that, surely, to see how he lived, what he said, how he responded, how he reacted, what were his priorities, all those sort of things. So I've been studying through first Mark's Gospel. I thought I'll start there because that's the shortest one. I'll get through that quicker. Then I've worked through Matthew's Gospel, and then Luke's Gospel. And some of these chapters, when you're looking at them word by word, take a long while to make notes. Anyway, now I'm in John's Gospel. And just a couple of days ago, I spent an hour in just John chapter 3, the beautiful chapter. Anyway, so that's where I'm at with this. So I'm still in the process of discovering these things and looking at them and sort of developing that material. So I wanted to note that because I'm in, as I say, I'm doing this and we're working it through and trying to understand it more and more from the truth of the Word of God. So what have I discovered? Well, you might be pleased or not thankful to know that at this stage I've got 70 or 80 different aspects. So how many shall we try to do today? I hope that doesn't frighten you. You'll think he's never going to shut up. So from that, what I've done is I've picked a few this just to cover this morning to touch on. And because of the time, I'm going to try to handle each one just relatively briefly. But I want to give a flavour, really, I suppose, and a feel of what the answer is to this question. Well, what lenses did Jesus look through? So the first one I've got here is Jesus lives looking through the lens of the Scriptures. Jesus lives looking through the lens of the Scriptures. When you read the Gospels, they affirm to you over and over again, they underline this truth, that Jesus frequently refers to the Scriptures. So in my notes, I've got Scriptures in big light, and there's loads of references again and again and again as Jesus is talking to people, as he's relating to people, to individuals, whether he's speaking to his disciples or he's speaking to the crowd, you know, whether he's on the hillside or whether he's going to the visiting synagogues, and whether he's in the temple or out in public or in private with others. Scriptures. He comes through with Scriptures. So frequently he'll point back to something in the Old Testament and he'll bring Scriptures. He brings that as a source of truth and authority. And that with all of these things that I'm going to share this morning, that I've got dozens of Scriptures that I'm not going to share. These things are coming out of reading and studying the Gospels. And this is one of the things that really has struck me. And you can see that Jesus is powerful in the Scriptures. He's powerful in the Scriptures, in what he shares. And that just led me to think this, that if I am intentional of being like Jesus, and this you could say is an obvious one, then I will also be seeking to live in and through the Scriptures. That must be a part of who I am. If I'm to be like Jesus, this is one of the things, this is one of the challenges, to be in the Scriptures. And I thought of this, I think it's one of the greatest challenges to our contemporary church. Whether we're fashioned and molded by our society, or whether we're actually saturated and shaped by the Word of God. That is a challenge to our contemporary church. What will we be? What will the result be? And too many churches can function out of all sorts of lenses that actually, if Jesus was here, he would never use. Some are unbiblical, and as I say, Jesus would never use them. So this is my first encouragement for us to be like Jesus, is to see the Word of God as a daily priority and essential for our lives, so that we can live through the lens of the Scriptures. Secondly, that Jesus lives looking through the lens of clarity. Jesus lives looking through the lens of clarity. Now, I don't think, as I've read through and I'm reading through the Gospels again in a sort of a more thorough way, you can't accuse Jesus. You can't condemn Jesus and point the finger at him and say he is unclear. You can't say, Jesus, you're just too vague. You know, you're just too confusing. This is just too much for us to handle. We can't understand it. Jesus was not prevaricating. He was not indefinite. He didn't put everything in a such a way that it would be totally misunderstood. And the more I read in the Gospels at this point in time in my life, I want to state this, that Jesus speaks with clarity. And one of the lenses he wants you and I to walk through is that we have clarity. One of the ways we get that is through being in the scriptures. We need clarity on how we handle ourselves, how we handle our lives, and how we are in front and with other people. When you hear Jesus preaching and you read about his teaching and you read about his encouragement, or whether he's warning somebody, or whether he's encouraging someone, or whether he's affirming them, or whether he's pointing them in a direction they do not want to go, all those things have clarity. Jesus is very clear. So why am I highlighting this? You may think, well, that's not a major thing in the New Testament. But as I've read, it struck me about the danger for myself, the danger of actually thinking that I can live with very little clarity. You know, this then, I think that impacts me. If I have little clarity, probably my courage is not very great. And my confidence is probably rather low. And the sense of being able to speak with any authority is undermined as well. Jesus always spoke. He related to people. He behaved and he ministered out of a position of clarity. And when you read it through and you see that this also became the same for his disciples, it also became the same in the early church. It also became the same with the apostles and prophets and leaders of the early church, of the New Testament church. They went out with a message that was clear, and they spoke with clarity. And I felt again that one of the things that the church, and I'm talking about the church in general here, we need to be awakened and drawn back to look through the lens of Jesus with a lens of this lens of clarity. So there's lots of things that we can be clear about, and many things that we talk about without perhaps listing them here. But there is a danger of there being a drift and shift away from that sense of clarity. And when there is that, you find that tolerance comes in and dilution of things, and we can bring God's word down just to our likes and our dislikes, and things change, things get more obscure, and it is a different lens than Jesus himself lived and walked and talked through. So I want to encourage us this morning in that respect, that we can remove those sort of lenses that just blur things and obscure things, and that they get replaced with this greater sense of, I can have clarity, I can understand, and I can bring that understanding into my life. Thirdly, Jesus lived looking through the lens of resurrection. Looking through the lens of resurrection. He had the knowledge and the awareness and this sort of anticipation, and he declared this many times through his life, telling people that he would be raised from the dead. And he lived looking through the lens of resurrection. He not only knew that this was part of his Father's plan for his life, but he also knew, as he was sharing the good news, he was speaking to people and he was leading them into this. He knew this all the time, that if people responded to the gospel message, what was going to happen to them? What's going to happen to you for having responded to the gospel message? You will experience the resurrection for ourselves. But if I can walk with that in my head and in my heart, knowing that not that I can live knowing that there's the resurrection ahead of me, and if I know that the people I talk to, the people I meet, are either going to be resurrected in the way that we are in Jesus or not, and they may not yet be in that place, that will affect how I think and how I speak. And I thought of this, that it was an incredible truth, that for us as every born-again Christian and spirit-filled believer, that we can live each day looking through this lens, the lens of resurrection, and living with this knowledge that the time will come when we will also rise from the dead. It's not just a theory, is it? It's a reality. One of the greatest teachings you find when you come to read the Acts of the Apostles and look at the New Testament church is this: there's the truth and the joy and the reality of resurrection. And they speak and they point people to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they know themselves that they will join Jesus and that they will be resurrected and that that time will come. And so I think looking through a lens like that, that ought to be more prevalent. That ought to be more of a normal thing that we do. I think in that way, in that more biblical way of the resurrection. Now, I can understand it perhaps a bit biblically. I could even understand it and describe it perhaps theologically. But it is also that I need to have that sort of in my heart and in my experience, that I know that that's behind me all the time, or in front of me, whichever way you want to look at it, the resurrection. We are resurrection people. Wow, there's more you could say about that, isn't there? But I think it really, that should be something that is inspiring for us, and is something that stirs us and changes us and motivates us. Number four, Jesus lives looking through the lens of heaven. Jesus lives looking through the lens of heaven. Heaven is never far away from the thinking and the teaching of Jesus. And it's in his conversations. He talks to the disciples about this. And it's interesting, you can see, Jesus, all the while, he's aware of this. He knows where he has been sent from. I have been sent from heaven. And he knows where he's going. I'm going to return to heaven. And he's left the glory of heaven, but he knows he's going back and he's going to be glorified in heaven again. And so all the while Jesus is living and talking and walking through wherever he walked, he knows this all the time. So that, it seems to me that that's part of the lens that he's able to look through and live through. Now, should not we be able to do the same? Should not we be able to do the same? I think it's worth saying, isn't it? Heaven is not some mystical story. It's not some sort of whimsical notion, you know, like this pie in the sky when I die, if I'm blessed to get there. It's not some sort of wispy, ethereal thought that has absolutely no substance. No, Jesus knows that heaven is real, and he can tell people the reality: I've come from there, and I'm going back there. That's what he can say to people. And I know we can't say that in the same way. I understand that. But it seems to me that, and for you and I, that we remember this. One of the reasons Jesus came. Why did he come? To bring many sons and daughters to glory. So one of the main reasons he came was that he would actually bring us into heaven. So if I can see this as one of the lens that I look through, then that will help me. And the fact is, we know there's no, everyone we meet, is that heaven is accessible for them. That's true, isn't it? It's accessible for all. And so there's an awareness of that. So we live in days when I think we can look through this lens of heaven on what has been promised and remember that. And there are scriptures, obviously, you could bring up to all of this. It's promised and it's guaranteed. A guaranteed inheritance, etc., etc. And so that also helps us, as I'm indicating, really, to be aware that there are others who may as yet have not got to that point where they could say honestly for themselves that my destination is heaven. The last thing I want just to mention is this, that Jesus lives looking through the lens of freedom. Jesus lives looking through the lens of freedom. The whole of the heart of Jesus, the whole of the life of Jesus, and the whole of his purpose and the whole of his ministry comes through this lens that he's desiring. He wants to see everybody in every situation, in every part of their lives, set totally free. And that's part of what Jesus is doing, part of the way he's seeing people, is that he's come to set them free. And as you know, there are scriptures that you can go, John 8 would be one, Galatians 5, verse 1 would be another one, and 2 Corinthians 3, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. It's actually in the porch, isn't it, on a poster there. And this is wonderful that this is possible, that Jesus is doing this. Because if as you read through the Gospels, what is Jesus doing in his teaching? He's enabling people to be set free. What is Jesus doing when he's laying hands on somebody and they're being healed? He's setting them free. When he's casting out demons, he's setting people free. You know, when he's walking and talking with the disciples, he's setting them free. And he's working through in that way, and when he raised the dead, he's setting people free. And when he asks people to come into the kingdom of God, he's setting people free. All the time he's setting people free. When he's telling them about the Holy Spirit and he sends the Holy Spirit, he's setting people free. And this is wonderful. This is what Jesus is doing. So what do I put here? This is a lens we ought to be wearing and living through. The awareness and desire to see others encounter and experience the freedom that Jesus can give them. Everything about Jesus spells freedom. Isn't that wonderful? Everything about Jesus spells freedom. So, I was thinking too in terms of in terms of this that, you know, whether it's for me, and I'm thinking of freedom, whether it's for our husband or our wife or our partner, whether it's for our children or our grandchildren, whether it's for contacts or colleagues, whether it's for our wider family, various people that we know, that various acquaintances, that we can come with this sort of vision and this perception that Christ wants to set all of them free, that he wants them to come. And there are many people we know, lovely brothers and sisters in Christ. We met with some yesterday in an event that we went to, people we've known for more than 50 years. But all of us can enter into a greater place of freedom. And this is one of the lenses that Jesus walked and talked and lived through. I've come to bring freedom. And I think that's one thing that we can have in our hearts and in our spirits as well, that we can live in such a way. So let me bring some conclusions to this. Those are the five main things that I picked out of my long list. The lens of the scriptures, the lens of clarity, the lens of resurrection, the lens of heaven, and the lens of freedom. So I want just to ask a few questions And then I want to pray with us. Can we see that if we look through the lenses that Jesus looked through, it will help purify our hearts and minds? It's going to lead us into more life and power in the Holy Spirit. It actually will change the climate of our lives. It actually will challenge the priorities that will happen. But it also will bring more of the fragrance and aroma of Christ into the atmosphere of our lives. Can we see that looking through the lenses Jesus looked through will not only, it will do this, it will increase our revelation, it will expand our vision, but it will also, and this is lovely, it will open us up to greater potential and possibilities in our lives as we do this. And can we see that Jesus wants us to see what he sees so that we might do what he does? See what he sees so that we might do what he does. The lenses of Jesus, it seems to me, they not only lead us into more and more truth, but they invite us into what is more and more amazing as well. And that's a lovely thought, isn't it? That we can come into that. So let me just pray for us as we come towards the end. Father, we thank you this morning that you have put the scriptures into our hands, into our lives. And we pray that you will help us to see more and more the truth that you want to show us. Thank you, Lord, that you are committed to us to lead us into all truth. And you have given us the Holy Spirit so to do that, that he might lead us into all truth. Lord, help each of our hearts to be more supple and more available to you to receive the word of God more and more frequently, and let it work in our hearts and our lives. Father, too, we ask that you will help us to be people who have more clarity. Lord, help us to have a clearer sense of who we are in Christ, what we can do in Christ, what you want to do in our lives. Help us, Lord, to be clear on the main truths of the gospel and the main truths of the life of the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you give us all sorts of things to enjoy together with Jesus and together in the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that you will help us in that regard too. Lord, we thank you for the power of the resurrection. We thank you, Lord, that you want us not just to understand this as a principle, a biblical principle, or a biblical truth, but you want our lives to be affected by the power of the resurrection. We pray, Lord, increasingly, give us, Lord, we pray, more of a sense of who we are as those who are resurrected in Christ. Oh, Lord, that's wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Pray, Lord, that too you will give us a greater sense of the presence of heaven. Lord, we're only here for a small drop of time, like that wisp of smoke that comes and is blown away, or the flower that rises up in the morning and is dead by evening. Lord, we're here for a short time, but heaven is forever. And so, Lord, I pray that you increasingly help us to see that we can walk with the eternal in our hearts and in our spirits, as the scriptures encourage us to do. We thank you for that too. Thank you, Lord, for resurrection. Thank you, Lord, for heaven. And praise you, Lord, for freedom. Thank you, Lord, for freedom. We just pray, Lord. We know that in many ways, many of us have entered into greater areas of freedom in our lives. But we thank you, Lord, as we often say to one another, there is still more. And we pray, Lord, for each of us. I pray this morning, Lord, you would lead us through this word that we've looked at together briefly into greater place of freedom. And then lastly, Lord, I just want to pray for any of us this morning who, in thinking about this particular subject, can see that we are living and looking through a false lens, or a lens in life that is unhelpful to us. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to be set free from any false lenses, from lenses that give us false perspectives on life or on relationships and other people, for the lenses that maybe are cruel to our lives, that bring us pain, that bring us a sense of rejection, that bring us a sense of emotional turmoil. Lord, we pray that you will free us from those lenses that cause us to look at things in a wrong way, or act in a wrong way, or speak in a wrong way. Lord, in all of this, we pray that we genuinely will become more like Jesus, and recognize too that we cannot do these things for ourselves, but that we can come and welcome you, Holy Spirit, to give us the power and the strength and the ability, the gifting, the anointing, to do what you have called us to do. And we pray that you, in all of that, Lord, you will help us. In the precious, precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.